Good evening, everybody, and happy Saturday night. I am not your host, but I am Pat Renwick, and this is not Stray Cast, but it is the world premiere of Pedal Pirates, hosted by Nolan Miner. Yes, that's right, Pedal Pirates, the second of SCTV Productions in 2023, produced by Andrew Ellenberger, premiering tonight. Yep, that's right, Nolan Miner's got a cast of amazing proper kayak anglers coming aboard in 2023, and Stray Cast is going to do their best to highlight this amazing growing sport. And we brought Nolan aboard because, honestly, we don't know too much about kayak angling, and our friend Nolan Miner knows a whole bunch. So with that being said, Bass Galaxy, kick back, enjoy, put those power poles down. I mean, micro power pole deal tonight. And welcome your host, the one and only, Angling Epic Dude of the Kayak World. It's Nolan Miner. Come on, Nolan.
What's up? I'm Nolan Miner, the host of this new show. It's called Pedal Pirates. It's a kayak fishing show here to talk about kayak bassing. And I want to shed some light on the sport for folks who may not know that much about it, but also want to provide a platform for some very in-depth tournament discussion for people who know plenty about it. I want to be able to put deserving anglers in the spotlight for their accomplishments in the kayak world because people are doing some pretty cool stuff out there. This is my first time being a host, so bear with me if I'm looking at my notes or stumble over my words or something like that, but I'm excited to get this show kicked off. Make sure to check out the Half a Spot app. It's a good way you can compete for cash and prizes, whether you're fishing from a kayak, the bank, or fishing from a boat. They do it all. We'll be right back with our guests.
Plenty of sunshine. Come on, man, let's roll.
What the?
To catch the fish, you need to be one with the fish.
With PowerPole shallow water anchors, you'll get the ultimate in precision, power, and control, so you can catch more fish. No face paint or phony fins necessary.
This is the mountain, and this is Mountain Whiskey. Unspoiled, untamed, forever wild. There's no safety net, no way down. Up here, it's just man and the mountain, and his tin cup. Tin Cup Whiskey. Mountain Whiskey.
Want to know the difference between power bait and other soft plastics? Ask the fish. Berkeley scientists have thousands of flavors tested on thousands of fish. Natural, man-made, every bait that's ever hit the water. No matter the shape, size, or color, PowerBait is the only one that is scientifically proven. Fish bite and will not let go.
Welcome back, people. I wanted to mention that we're doing a like and share contest. There's a prize pack from Berkeley that you can win. So like and share the feed, and we will be able to announce the winner by the end of this thing. So, yeah, like and share if you want to win some goodies from Berkeley. I'm here with, I'm Nolan Miner, host of the new kayak show. It's called Pedal Pirates. I am here with a couple of my fellow Pedal Pirates, Cody Milton and Christine Fisher. They are both very, very well established anglers in the kayak world. That should be no secret to anybody who's in the watching tonight because, yeah, they've done a whole lot. They just represented Team USA in Mexico and brought home the gold. They were fishing together for Team USA. And let's see. Yeah. So going to get into more about them. I looked into, their tournament accomplishments. There's a lot of them. So instead of me bringing something that I think about or I thought was cool, I'm going to have them introduce themselves and tell me their favorite tournament accomplishment with kayak fishing. So give y'all the light here. Christine, I guess you take it away.
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me tonight, Nolan. Hey, Cody. I haven't seen you in a while. It looks good. Holy cow. That took me off guard. favorite tournament moment. This is probably going to surprise a lot of people because obviously winning the TOC was kind of a big deal, but that was not my favorite. My favorite tournament moment was winning my first ever, like what I would consider big tournament on Kentucky Lake. I think, gosh, that was probably 4 years ago, three, 4 years ago now. That was my first one. And that just coming from, all the years of putting in a lot of hard work and just never thinking I was ever gonna, you know, do anything good in the world of bass fishing, hoisting that trophy and doing it in an area where I was the only person. I had 2 days there completely to myself and I was just on a killer pattern and really, felt like I earned that one pretty good. And that was my first big win. And definitely, I think was the catapult for me into my career. So I'd say that one over anything.
Good deal. All right. Yeah. And for anybody who doesn't know, Christine fishes a whole bunch of kayak tournaments, always fishing for something all over the place, has caught a lot of bass. And Cody is pretty much doing more of the same. But Cody, I'll let you take it away. Let's hear about your favorite tournament accomplishment.
I would have to say probably the Bassmaster on Lake Fork. I think it was the first Bassmaster the first regular season event they had. And not like, it didn't really have anything to do with like which series it was on. It was solely the fact that, like, I remember being on Lake Fork when I was 9 years old. Like, I remember going back and forth from my grandparents' house and listening to Dad telling stories from like the late 80s on Lake Fork. So I don't know. It was a cool one. Like, just overall, it was probably the most meaningful win I've had.
And you're from Arkansas, right?
Yep.
Okay, good deal. So I want to, first of all, I'm going to start off kind of explaining a little bit about kayak tournament fishing, because hopefully we have some people watching who are not so familiar with it, since we're on the Straightcast platform. So the stuff that you guys and myself are fishing, a lot of the times these are 200 plus angler fields. We're winning just in regular season events up to and beyond $10,000 for first place. And the entry fees are very low in comparison to what you stand to make in these tournaments. So it's really cool. They're multi-day events a lot of the times. These are lakes all over the country. And the way that we actually we submit our fish, but the way that we score our fish in the kayak tournaments, it's catch, photo, release. So we have measuring boards that everybody has the same measuring board, and we take pictures of them, and it gets submitted through an app. So that's how the fish are scored. So it's not by weight, it's by total length. Most of the time it's your best five, and that's kind of how these things work. So first thing I want to talk about with y'all is the whole 2023 season. Some schedules are out, some aren't. I want to hear, regardless of the series, what event, I'll start with Christine, but what event you're looking the most forward to, and then if there's one that you are concerned about that you're planning on fishing.
Oh boy, I'm trying to think of the schedule as it lays out. I'm really excited for the Hobie schedule, just because Nolan, you and I talked about this. It really caters to people that like fishing shallow, muddy water and cypress swamps and everything. It sets up really nice for what I like to do. The event in particular, though, I love the Susky. I really do. As much as I love fishing for big largemouth down south, I think that Bassmaster, I don't know if they've announced that yet. I'm hoping something goes to the Susky. That'd probably be up there. But other than that, I think that probably the Hobie on Caddo Bissano is what I'm looking forward to. And I think that's early March. Is that right?
Yeah, it's the 11th.
Yeah, I think we're going to hit that at a really, really good time. And that Caddo's got to be like one of my favorite lakes in the country for a variety of reasons. So I think that one's what I'm looking forward to. And as far as the one I'm not, there's really not one in the schedule that I'm not looking forward to. Maybe Cayuga. I think I am going to fish Cayuga, and solely just because of the drive, and I'm not as familiar with that area. But I mean, there's not one on there that I'm just like absolutely kind of dreading. They took Dardanelle off, so that really made me feel pretty good. Sorry, Cody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never showed out in any of the tournaments we've had.
never really did.
All right, Cody, let's hear your thoughts on what you're thinking about for this season.
So honestly, oddly enough, I am most excited about probably going to Cayuga. I think like if, and this was a while ago, like I'm sure there's been plenty of kayak tournaments on it the last couple of years, but the last like big national tournament that I remember there was in probably 5 or 6 years ago. And I bet it still holds the record for most stringers over 90 inches. For sure holds the record for like most stringers over 80. It was insane. So yeah, I've never been up there, but it's probably one of the most, I don't know. I've looked forward to going up there for a while. I will say that. But yeah, man, I want to say it was a KBF tournament in 17. And I think there was like close to 30 stringers over 90 inches. I want to say it was something like that. Like it, 90 inches didn't get a check, which seems crazy for a northern tournament. So
what dominated on that one? Largemouth or smallmouth? Or was largemouth?
Yeah, like all largemouth. Yeah. Okay.
Good to know.
Yeah, from what I know about Cayuga, there are smallmouth in there and they're big ones, but it's hard to catch numbers of them. So
that's kind
of
what I've heard too.
Somebody figures those out.
Huh.
Yeah, so I didn't get like a nervous tournament from either of y'all. Is there anything that we're like, oh, I'm going to fish that one, but I don't know how that's going to shake out or nothing. We're just ready to just take it on.
I feel like that Rayburn tournament late in the year could be pretty weird. Like I'm sure some people are excited about it, but I feel like it could be a tough one when it's all said and done.
It probably will be tough. Yeah. The elites were there September this last year, and that's when we're going. And it was tough. If you weren't fishing in one area where they were, you weren't catching fish. So it probably will be.
I think worse. Sounds like it's worse grass than it was then too. Yeah. So
yeah.
Yeah. Like I think I'm going with Rayburn.
Maybe Lanier is there a Bassmaster on Lanier?
Hartwell, I think.
Is it Hartwell? Okay. Well, I thought there was one of those blueback herring lakes on there.
For the record, the Bassmaster schedule is not officially out. I saw something on some website that said a few names of lakes and events and dates. I don't know if that's official.
Dropped a graphic that had all the first four were in, yeah. And then the October one was to be determined.
Yeah. I think we're all good except the last one.
So yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, Hartwell was the one on there that I was interested in because unlike Christine, and I would imagine unlike Cody, because you're from Arkansas, clear water stuff is probably not in your wheelhouse. And that's stuff that I really like. So I'm kind of eyeing that one.
You can get out of clear water on Hartwell. I won a tournament on Hartwell 2 years ago that was not anywhere near clear water.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been there. It's a neat place. It's super, super dynamic fishery. There's a whole bunch of different places you can catch them there. It's kind of got them from end to end. Really cool place.
It does, yeah. I'm looking forward to that one too.
So what do y'all think about a lot of the kayak trails fishing what are very well-known tournament venues, like on the bass boat side of things? Because it seems like that's kind of where things are gravitating towards.
I don't think it's something that like ultimately has to take place. I think it happens now because it's kind of the easiest, you know, way direction for tournament directors and like whoever to go. I mean, that being said though, I mean, if we keep, you know, getting 200 plus anglers at every event, you still have to have a pretty large body of water to house, you know, that many anglers. Especially only being able to go a few miles from each ramp. But no, I mean, I think, you know, back in the day, I would have said I thought we were going to end up gravitating to smaller lakes, and it almost seems like the opposite, if anything, which now, I mean, it's cool because, I mean, you know, I think most everybody grows up watching all these lakes on TV that we get to go to. So it's pretty fun to do that.
And I think it kind of almost helps like legitimize it a little bit when I don't know about y'all, but I get a lot of people that are just absolutely shocked that we can take kayaks out on like big water. And so I think when these people that aren't as familiar with kayak fishing are hearing that we're hitting the exact same big tournament lakes that they are, I think it helps legitimize our sport. And then they can kind of look and see, you know, what kind of numbers we're putting up, even though it's kind of hard for people to understand the length to weight deal. I think it helps legitimize it and helps people become a little bit more familiar with it. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It really surprised me personally because I came from fishing the college series from a boat, and I fished some Bassmaster Opens. And so it was always hard for me. My little brother Ewing fishes the kayak series pretty heavily. And it was always really weird for me to try to put into perspective the difference between me being able to drive really anywhere I want to go on a fishery, but then in a kayak, you're on this huge fishery and you obviously don't have that freedom to move around as much. After having now participated in a full season of fishing on, you know, big fisheries from a kayak, I'm really surprised by how many fish you can catch when you're forced to pretty much stay in an area, or, you know, maybe two areas if you move during the day. It's pretty impressive to me. And it's really cool because I was nervous about it going into it, thinking that, you know, well, if this is what I was catching when I could drive literally over the whole lake anywhere I wanted to go, how am I going to catch the same fish if I got to stay put? But I've been very surprised.
It forces you to have more patterns, I feel like, going into a tournament. Like, if you know you have to stay in an area, kind of like you said. I mean, it's like, you know, regardless, you've kind of got to figure them out where you are that day, because you're burning a lot of time moving somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's, you got to have, you know, you got to figure out what the, like, if you're in a creek, you got to figure out what the fish on the bank are doing. You got to know what the fish that are out deep are doing, and you got to know what the suspended fish are doing. You got to be able to fish for all three of them throughout the day. It's really neat, and it makes me realize how many fish I, you know, left in the dust all the time. But kayak fishing is neat and very different for that. Anything to add, or next little thing I'm going to?
I have a question for you really quick, Nolan, on that. Now, having a year of kayak fishing under your belt, do you think that if you went back and jumped in the opens again, would it change the way, just being in a kayak for a year and kind of learning what you've learned, would you go back and fish the opens differently? Or do you think it would change your fishing style at all out of a boat?
I don't know. I've really thought about this a lot, and I was wondering how much it would change my perspective. And it definitely has. There's definitely a lot to be said about the presence of a kayak, and just that fish don't know we're there. Like, that's why we're going to these huge fisheries that have been pounded and we catch a bunch of fish, because those bass get so conditioned to feeling when a boat is near them. And then we come in a kayak and they don't know we're there. So yes and no. Cause you know, in a kayak, it's, you can just be around them and not be changing their mood so much. Like, if you're on a group of fish, you can kind of hang out with them throughout the day. Whereas if you're in a boat and you're hanging out with these fish, it's definitely, you're affecting them a little more. So I don't know, but it would definitely, I don't know if it would change things for the worse. It might make me just totally spin out and think that I need to be, I've always been one to just drive all over the place like a madman when I'm in a boat. So I don't know what it would do. It would be very interesting for me if I went back to something like that.
This, I don't know, this isn't like much of an answer, but I'm almost 10 years removed from fishing a boat tournament. And I felt like there was like a happy median of like 3 or 4 years of being in a kayak and not fishing in a boat, where I felt like I would have done a lot better in a boat. And it's like, now, I don't know. I almost feel like now I wouldn't move around enough, which is kind of odd, but so I don't know. I could see it going both ways. I mean, the more you kayak fish, the more you're kind of forced to stay in one area. And it's like, the more I was in a boat, the more like you're like fishing for that 10% of fish that are biting somewhere. I don't know. It's too like drastically opposite things.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I know fishing from a bass boat, there were definitely tournaments I could look back at and say, I should have just sat in that creek for my entire tournament, and being able to recognize when that is the move or not the move is pretty, pretty important. Andy, can you get this comment from Andy Leonard up here? I think Andy said he can do that. Yeah. Do we think kayak fishing will ever go to two different divisions, electric powered and pedal or paddle? Cause so a lot of kayaks have trolling motors on them, and it's obviously a whole different dynamic. You can cover a lot more water doing that and do it quickly, and you're not getting as tired. So Bassmaster and KBF are the two major trails that allow trolling motors during competition, correct?
Yep.
I'm right on that. And then the Hobie series, you can use a trolling motor during practice. And then for the competition, you have to only, there are no trolling motors allowed. You got to be all pedal or paddle powered. So I think it'll probably just stay something along those lines. But that is kind of two different divisions, I would say. I like that there's both options. Yeah, and I mean, that's the best way I can put it. I don't know. You guys think we'll ever see like a two different divisions like that?
I mean, other than we already have with the Hobie, you know, being human powered and the other two, you know, focusing on the motors, probably not.
No, I mean, I kind of agree. I mean, it's hard to write motors off just because, you know, usually there's a lot of money that comes with a lot of those kayak motor companies. But I mean, other, like, honestly, I like practicing with a motor and taking it off come tournament day. I think that's really probably one of the most efficient ways to do it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I think, I don't know, I think there's room for all of it, but I definitely agree. It's kind of neat. Speaking of that Hobie series, there have been some rule changes for this season, and wanted to hear your guys' thoughts on that. We have the float-in rule change. So in kayak fishing, there's kind of two fields of thought, is that you can fish main lake or, you know, fishing the same waters that a boat would fish, and then maybe you're relying on your electronics, maybe you're not, but you're fishing the same waters as a boat could fish. Then there's this other school of thought on use the kayak to get back into as far back into something as possible to fish water that has probably never seen fishing pressure from a boat. And basically, in the Hobie rules this year, you have to be able to float your kayak into an area. So you can't push, you can't get out and drag it. We were never allowed to drag it. I don't think any series allows that, but you used to be able to do kind of whatever you wanted as long as you stayed in the kayak while doing it. But yeah, I want to hear what you guys think about that.
Christine?
I'll go first. You know, that's kind of it's a tough one. Part of me, like, I feel for your quote unquote river and super skinny water guys, because it's very obvious they're able to still remain in the kayak and push themselves up these shoals and up these really shallow areas, where a lot of us can't. I certainly can't do that in my Hobie, or even my shallow water kayak. And so I kind of feel for them. I get where they're coming from on that, but I also think I wish there was a way, and I think that we're going to see that with the rule change, to still involve the creeks and the rivers without pushing it to the absolute extreme. Because I love fishing, you know, these really, really skinny creeks and rivers and getting up. I'm usually in the river section fishing at the tournaments if that's able, if we have that option. So I think that still, you know, is going to play. And I think a lot of the guys that are, you know, concerned that we're kind of phasing out the river guys, I don't think that's the case. I really think that it's just going to be a little bit more manageable on the tournament director side now, which honestly was really needed. I know that a lot of the TDs had so many headaches with that. And as long as, you know, there are still some launch access points where you can still get to these creeks and these rivers, I think that being able to fish the same water that everybody else can fish further legitimizes our sport and makes it, I mean, everyone's going for, I guess, what they're calling the level playing field. That's kind of where I lie on that. I still want those waters to be in play within reason. And I still think the majority of the places we fish, you're going to be able to fish a lot of the creeks and the rivers, no questions asked, because they're navigable. That's kind of my thoughts on it. I don't think it's really gonna completely rule out these areas. It's just gonna make it a little bit more legitimate, I think.
And I think one.
Did you lose him too?
Yep. I was like, shoot, okay. With Andy, I was cutting in and out because I've got this like shared Airbnb Wi-Fi right now. But I think that's the Arkansas Wi-Fi cutting out.
A person's not going to be able to fish like three.
Oh, there he is.
Oh.
We lost person, start over. We lost right at the beginning of the thought.
Now, I was just saying, I think the biggest thing that the rule will change is it's not necessarily going to eliminate creek or river fishing. It's just going to make it where you're not going to be able to fish multiple creeks or rivers. Right. Because the biggest
drop in.
Yeah. The biggest issue you run into up those creeks and rivers really is launch access. Like sometimes really low in June and July, like, yeah, it is, you know, poling and pick It's a long ways from the lake, you know. We're a lot of times like where, you know, you can actually launch to get to a lot of those places. So I think that's going to be the biggest thing, is just kind of eliminating most river and creek guys to just fishing an area or two during an event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And like you were saying, Christine, also whenever the next episode happens, I don't know when that's going to be, but we are probably going to try to have Drew Gregory on. So I'm sure he will have more to add about this. But yeah, it's weird because it's part of the beauty of kayak fishing is being able to access places that, you know, boats can't. And so we obviously have to keep that in the sport to an extent, but it is kind of hard. It becomes like where you draw that line. At the same time, the fact that I'm out using live scope and literally like seeing one fish and I can drop my bait on his head, I almost feel like people should be allowed to just take their kayak and drag it over whatever the heck they want to. Then you run into problems with, you know, the law. Like you can end up breaking laws, trespassing and whatnot. And I think that's probably why the tournament directors have to, you know, make the rules the way that they are. But
right.
Yeah, I want people to still be able to fish creeks, especially since, you know, electronics are so far advanced. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's tough. But like you said, now it's going to make it to where everybody is probably going to be able to fish the same stuff. And it's not going to be, you know, having a kayak or fishing style designed just to almost be crawling over rocks and stuff, which is cool. And I don't know. We'll see where it goes. I'm sure not every series is going to adapt the same float-in rule.
I wouldn't be surprised if all the big ones adapted the same rules.
Well,
it looks
there's like talk of like unifying all the rules so it's easy across the board for everybody.
Which, I mean, I think we finally just gotten to a point where we're big enough that we kind of need that, you know, the unified rule. I mean, cause for, you know, the last 10 years, like it's pretty well been a good enough rule. Like if you can stay in your kayak and get up it, you know, that's good. But I don't know, I guess there's been several incidences where it's, you know, somewhat been pushed maybe. But no, I mean, I think for the most part, I feel like every rule change was definitely, for the good.
I definitely agree. Like I said, that I know people that one in the launch bound or the, was it designated launches? A lot of the river guys were kind of upset and I see where they're coming from. And I hope that, a lot of those access points still let those guys have some of that water and play. Cause I want to fish against people, who are able to fish their strengths. I feel like we're fishing against everyone at their best when all that's in play. And I enjoy that. It's challenging for everybody, but I think where the rules are, the TVs did pretty dang good.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Another rule change on the Hobie side is kind of about the information. And I totally agree with it. It's always kind of blown my mind. So in the Hobie series, we were allowed to talk to other competitors on our phones during the tournament. That was allowed. And obviously, we probably all use that to our advantage. Sometimes it'll hurt you, honestly, because if your buddy's catching them and you're not, it kind of becomes weird. But now we aren't allowed to share any information with anybody or with competitors during tournament hours. The one weird thing I see with this is that includes verbal communication. So in most bass boat tournaments, you can communicate verbally to people. That's why you see, so Scott Martin in his YouTube videos, he's always pulling up on whoever his buddies are and they'll, you know, exchange words. But I think that means in the Hobie series that if you're fishing next to somebody, you can't disclose any information about mm-hmm. whether you've been catching them or what you've caught. So I think that's going to be kind of weird. I don't know that it'll ever change back, but I feel like the verbal communication should maybe be allowed just because it would be kind of weird. Especially if you're fishing the same area as somebody over multiple days, it'd just be so weird to not be allowed to talk to one another during the tournament. But I want to hear your guys' thoughts on it.
I know like one of the, probably the first biggest like local kayak series was Cats that I know of in Texas. And they did that for a long time. And that may still be their rules down there. And they were having huge turnouts a long time ago, kind of having those same rules. I definitely think it's the fairest thing to do. It's probably more of a, you know, I feel it's probably more of a perception that it helps people than actually reality. But I mean, yeah, anything that can like clear up, you know, people thinking something's not fair is, you know, always going to be good.
Yeah, totally. That you nailed it, Cody. That the perception that it helps people. I know there's a huge perception out there with a lot of people, and I'm super thankful for that rule because it will just help. It helps everybody, basically, yeah. Because it's not going to change. I mean, the same people are still going to be doing well consistently throughout the year. That is just how it's going to be. And so I think the really good thing about all of these rules tightening up is that people will start running out of excuses. And hopefully can see, look, like people are catching them because they can just catch them. As far as what you said, Nolan, about people verbally talking on the water, I see what you're saying with that. I think the Hobie, you can still talk to the anglers. It just can't be about the fishing or how you're catching them. But so at least you don't have to like just pretend they're not there and not say anything. You can say, hey, good morning. You know, I actually kind of like that too, because I don't know. I think that I just want to know that everybody's out there doing their own thing. And I think that's going to be, I'm excited about that. I think it'll be a really good thing all the way across the board. And a lot of people are saying it's like really, it's going to be very hard to enforce. And that's been kind of confusing for me to see that, because a lot of our rules are self-policed, not just that one. And people are really hung up on this one for some reason that they think it's still going to happen. But do you guys agree that if they make it a rule, 99.9% of people in our tournaments are going to follow it because it's now on paper, just like every other rule?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's bass fishing in general. No matter what craft you're fishing from, most of the rules are
self-policed.
And and you know, if you do decide you want to break rules, there's a good chance that if you do well and you get polygraphed, you know, that's not going to go well for you. Polygraphs, I'm pretty sure they happen at the kayak level. I haven't experienced it personally, but I'm sure it happens. And so, yeah, that information one is one that gets people in trouble pretty often. So, yeah, you got to obey the rules. And I think most people do. I think from what I've seen in kayak fishing, it's all good people with good intentions. Not many bad apples.
No, we've had a lot of people turn themselves in for things that they unknowingly did, and no one would have had any idea that they did something wrong, but they turned themselves in. And I think that speaks really highly of the people that fish our series.
Yeah, I think I ended up getting more money after it was at the Santee Cooper. They had the Queen City tournament alongside ours that we could enter. So for people who don't know kayak fishing, we can, I mean, I guess it does happen from bass boats too. It'd be like if there's two tournaments happening and you pay, and it's out of the same ramp, and you pay both entry fees and you weigh your fish, and then you can walk them to the next set of scales. It's kind of like that. That does happen some, but we can submit our fish for two tournaments that are happening at the same time. So that's what I'm referencing. But there was a guy in one of the tournaments that, I don't know, maybe it was a week after the event, I got like, I don't know, like 50 more bucks because I jumped up one place. But it was this guy that, he looked back and realized that he didn't have a fishing license during the tournament. And this is way after the tournament's over. And he turned himself in for not having a fishing license during the tournament, even though it was all said and done. I mean, like, it was great that that guy did that, but I'm like, man, you didn't gain a competitive advantage. You didn't, you know, you obviously didn't knowingly do anything wrong. I hope that guy got some good karma from that. But yeah, so that, you know, I don't think there's very many people intentionally breaking rules in kayak fishing. Mm-mm. Okay. Got a category that I have labeled in my notes, fun stuff. So let's hear biggest kayak tournament catch. Cody, you go first. I want to hear about it.
So the only two, I've caught two 10 pounders in my life, and both of them were during competition. I caught one of them during, it was 24 3/4. It was during the first kayak bass fishing night tournament in Arkansas. And it was 10-2. And then I caught one that was like a little over 11. That was like 25 something on actually Lake Murray.
That was on Murray. I was there.
Yep. That had like 104 inch something. It was a fun day.
What did you catch those two fish on?
I've never caught a 10 pounder on anything other than a spinnerbait. All three 10 pounders have been on a spinnerbait.
I feel like Pat will appreciate that.
Yeah, double, not even the same, double willow, single Colorado, and combo too, a tandem. Yep.
Good deal. Christine, biggest tournament catch?
So I've caught 2 23¾. One of them, they're both in during a tournament. One of them was at Lake Fork, and this was, I think, 4 years ago. The first Hobie on Lake Fork. I think that was 4 years ago. Is that right?
I think so.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. And then the second one, I'm trying to remember where that was. I'm not totally sure. It might have been Chickamauga. It might have been Chick where I caught the second one. Yeah, but that was a couple years ago too. But I know I've caught two. Now, I have not broke 24 in a tournament yet, but there's this year. Yeah.
Well, and with the stuff that's on the schedule for, you know, for no matter what series, there's a lot of big fish fisheries being visited. So, yeah, going to be some big fish caught. And going back to kayaks being so stealthy, I think the odds of catching one of those much greater than average size fish kind of increase just because those fish, especially this day and age, bass are getting fished for so much more than they ever have before. And people are so much better at fishing. That's a, you know, number of factors contributing to that, but fish are very smart now, and a kayak gives you a little bit more advantage because they're so conditioned to the presence of boats. So we're gonna see some big fish. It kind of blows me away every time, but you always see at least one crazy fish from the tournament. Most clutch tournament catch, because sometimes the biggest ones aren't necessarily the most exciting. Sometimes a tournament can put a pretty cool spin on like a 2-pound fish. I feel like Cody might have had something happen at the TOC this year.
I was going to go to the TOC. Yeah, just like really the last 30 minutes of all 3 days of the TOC, like not just one of them. I think the first day of the TOC, I might have had like low 80s going into the last hour. But I mean, it pretty much caught most all of my fish in the last 30 minutes at the TOC.
I don't like it when that happens. I mean, it's nice when it happens, but those days are pretty stressful.
Wouldn't it be weird too? Because like, you know, I was catching fish the whole day. It was just like, for whatever reason, those big ones would only bite in the afternoon. It was weird.
Christine, clutch tournament catch you can remember? I'm sure there's been several, but
there probably has. The only thing that really comes to mind though, a KBF Pickwick event a couple years ago, I got on the last hour of my day. I remember it was Mike Elsie and I kind of going back and forth. He was on some big smallmouth and I was on some big smallmouth and largemouth, and I caught like the last hour. I culled all 5 of my fish and almost hit 100 inches in that last hour. And it was just, I mean, it was just like that, a just huge flurry. That's the one thing that kind of sticks out.
Good stuff. Yeah. I caught a fish at Toledo Bend. I think that was the first real big kayak tournament I ever fished. We had like, I don't know, I think I had like 10 minutes left. That's another cool thing about kayak fishing is, so we got to have our fish submitted by a certain time. So it's like, if the tournament ends at 3:00, well, we have until 3:01. Like if the picture we submit, they get timestamped when we submit when we take our pictures, they get timestamped. Yeah. So if the judge is going through your fish and say you caught this fish at 2:58, and then you're fumbling with your phone and trying to make sure the fish holds still and not drop your cell phone in the lake and not lose the fish also, but you do have to take the picture before time runs out. So if your timestamp says like, you know, 3:07 or something, you know, like 3:07, that fish counts. But if you let it go over that last minute, even though you caught the fish before the tournament ended, it doesn't count. And that, you know, it's surprising. Again, it's kind of like a big fish being caught every time. Usually somebody is burning it down to the wire. And a lot of the times you hear at least one person every tournament does not get a fish submitted because they don't get the picture in time. It seems to, you seem to hear it every time. Have y'all ever had a heartbreaker like that? I haven't, but I haven't been fishing them for nearly as long as y'all.
Not really. I don't know. I'll make a cast with the last minute, but I try to not really catch one, you know, a minute after. So I hadn't had anything. I don't know. I haven't landed any fish like after the tournament was over.
Christine?
I've had several times, not ever when the tournament was over, but I've had several times, and this is like embarrassing to even admit this, but at the national championship, like recently this happened where I had my hand placement was wrong, and so I got like all my fish DQ'd. Or the identifier, like the Bassmaster Lake Fork, a couple years ago, I had the wrong side of the ID. So I've had like, and this, I should not have this happen. I've fished enough of these now, but every year, like at least a couple of times, I'll get fish DQ'd for something that I'm doing with the, whether the identifier or my hand. I thought you could put your hand like a, there's so many thin rules and stuff, and the series were all different, which I'm all in favor of now, like unifying everything. Because I had a lot of fish DQ'd last year across the series for hand placement and stuff.
Yeah, that is one really interesting variable about kayak fishing. You really have to thoroughly read the rules and pictures, especially like when I have people that are fishing, maybe their first one or they haven't done a big one before. I'm like, in practice, take some pictures, get good at taking pictures. That is something. If anybody's out there thinking about getting into kayak tournaments, it seems easy enough, slap the fish on the board and take the picture, but you got to make sure whatever requirements that tournament series has, you need to abide by those, because there is nothing worse than catching a nice fish. You got him, you put him on the board, you get the picture of him, and then he doesn't count because you messed up one little thing. And, you know, the tournament directors, obviously, they don't have a choice. They got to, you know, whatever their rules say, they got to follow them. And yeah, it's a bummer.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I've always said this, and I mean, it sounds bad, but I mean, it's not just a fishing tournament. It's like it's a photography tournament too. Like there are plenty of times the person's caught the fish to win the tournament and not won because, you know, photos were wrong. So yeah, it's a big part of it, especially when you catch them late in the day and you're not, you know, not thinking about the normal things you usually are.
Yeah, definitely. I guess you could maybe compare it to Brandon Pollinick has had some culling errors over his history of doing amazing things, right? The dude has won so many tournaments. He's amazing. But when you get excited about fishing, you do dumb things and sometimes forget to follow the rules. And I guess that'd be the closest comparison between the picture taking and, you know, and a bass boat tournament would be your culling rules.
Yeah. Speaking of those guys, did you guys see Greg, I think I'm going to say his last name, right? De Palma's, his announcement that the Bassmaster Elite Angler, who's going to fish 4 out of 5 of the Bassmaster kayak tournaments and a couple of Hobies.
I did.
What do y'all think about that?
Didn't see that.
Okay. Yeah. I saw that. I think it's cool. I think it'd be really cool to see more people fishing at, you know, really high levels competitively jump over on the kayak side. A lot of those guys, you'll see them fishing, you know, lower level, granted lower level compared to the highest
what
level
they're used to,
but they'll fish other stuff when they think they can make a little bit of money. And there's a lot of money to be made in kayak tournaments. And a lot of the places these kayak tournaments go, these guys have seen the entire thing from a boat. And, you know, just on the standpoint of making money from fishing, I think it'd be cool to see some more guys jump over and, you know, give it a try. Mike Iaconelli, he fishes the Elite Series. He's fished in some of them. Done well.
Jordan Lee jumped in one. That's probably 4 years ago now or more.
Yeah, the native on Gunnersville.
Yep.
I think it's really cool.
Correct too. I think he finished like, I don't know if we've had an Elite Series pro enter a tournament and not cash a check during the tournament that they fished.
I don't think so either.
I think Ike at Russell, like at the kayak kayak Bassmaster Championship last year. I think that might have been.
Yeah, he didn't cut a check in that one.
Yeah, but other than that, I think it's always happened.
Yeah, which is really, I think it's really cool. I'm excited to see him fish it. I know we got a couple guys that fish a lot of the boat tournaments jumping over now and fishing some of the kayak stuff. So I think it'll be really cool. I'm excited to see that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's neat. I definitely like seeing, you know, some crossovers. It's cool. Cause I think, you know, there's kind of it's like you got kayak people and then you got bass boat people. Like it's all just competitive bass fishing. I think there's room for people to explore a little bit more. Yeah. Let's see. So in kayak tournaments, we are a lot of the time physically exhausting ourselves a lot more than one would from a bass boat. Now, granted, I've spent enough time in a bass boat that I can speak on this. That's no cakewalk either. When you're on your feet for that long throughout the day, it's definitely no cakewalk. But I find that in kayak tournaments, I got to eat a lot throughout the day. Like a lot of the times, I don't know how y'all are, but I just want to hear like, what's your whole approach to, I don't know, maybe pacing yourself to not burn yourself out energy wise, because sometimes we got to do crazy stuff. Like the only way to access an area is to paddle X number of miles across the lake to get there. I feel like you guys have probably some good input on this. I just want to hear it.
I don't have any good input because I don't eat on the water like at all. I forget all. I get so bad. I'm exhausted and I have headaches and stuff at the end of there. So yeah, I don't. I'm not going to be able to speak on this one. Is what you should do.
Okay. Pretty much same thing here.
I figured.
I will say this, like, I go pretty strapped with water, though. Like, you won't find me without, like, 6 bottles of water. Rarely any food, though. If I do, like, maybe some donut sticks or something, like, after I catch a limit. But
if they look good at the gas station that morning. But sometimes we get there too early and they don't put the new fresh ones out. It's the ones from the night before. And I just feel really weird about that sometimes.
I've been getting used to these early morning duck hunting ones. They're the best ones.
Yeah.
Your comment about after 5, that's when you can eat. Whenever I do get into my first food throughout the day, it's definitely never before number 5. And sometimes that happens really quickly and then I can relax and eat a little bit, but sometimes it takes too long. How long have y'all been kayak fishing? I know y'all have been doing it for way longer than I have. Cody, how long have you been doing it? Do you know when your first tournament was?
I think my first, the first tournament I fished was 2015. I think I bought like a 9-foot little like sit-in kayak to go king fishing with for like 2013. I went out and king fished a lot for like probably a couple weeks, and that following year we did the same thing. Even after that, like I got into kayak fishing for offshore fishing, and then the next step for me was like inshore. I didn't really find the bass fishing thing till it was several years after fishing in a kayak.
I got you. Christine?
I've been doing it for, competitively, I think 5 years now, but just in a kayak in general. I actually started fishing in a small wreck kayak back in Nebraska so I could get off into some of these sand pit lakes and chase muskie, and then take a kayak out to the refuge lakes. I used to fish out there and chase these big trophy northern. I mean, that's why I got a kayak in the first place, was to chase trophy pike and musky fish back home. And that's probably 7 or 8 years ago or so.
Yeah. Getting off the bank was the main reason I got into kayak fishing. And I mean, for anybody out there, if there's people that are mostly bank anglers and, you know, boats not really in the cards for you because boats are dang expensive. Kayaks, I just remember when I was younger and got my first one, it was a 10-foot sit-in. Like the kayaks that we are competitively fishing out of usually are pretty pricey and they're pretty far along, but you can get a small kayak and it'll get you out off the bank and get you to some places that you've never been able to fish before. And I highly encourage it, because that for me is probably what started my love of bass fishing, was being able to just access so many more places. Because again, like I said, there's so many people fishing these days that stuff you can access from the bank, it probably gets fished pretty hard no matter where you are. But if you get in a kayak, you can get away from some places and find some stuff that other people haven't. Anybody have an on the water friction story? I don't know. I don't want to use any names. Like I've only had one thing ever happen to me, and I don't know if it happens much in the kayak world. You guys have been doing it for way longer than I have, but any weird stuff ever happened?
Cody, please tell the story about it's not really friction, but that was like the funniest story.
Wait, ever in my life.
Yeah.
So it is a pretty good story.
It's so good.
It also explains why I still don't have any headphones. So, yeah. It was Lake Dardanelle this year. It was day 2 at the Hobie. And it was like 15 minutes into the morning. We're in a tournament where if like you didn't catch them in the first hour and a half, like it was pretty much over. I was throwing a buzzbait down some grass, I have to use the bathroom. So it's like, you know, if anyone's used the bathroom, you know, like went number 2 in a kayak, like you've probably taken your drive out and went through the Mirage drive. So that's what I did. But, you know, we're like full-time game mode. So there's like four rods laid up in front, you know, where I am. And I lean back, I hold my hand on the seat in the, like start using the bathroom and the seat breaks. and I fall back, break like all four rods that are laid like right next to me. And this horse fly comes up under my shirt and starts biting me in the back. It bites me. And I bought, so I've owned a pair of AirPods for like 3 days at this point. And the horse fly like makes up to my neck, and I like flick my left ear and I flick the AirPod out, and I like catch that one, and like flip, like the horse fly comes this way and I flick this way, and then the second one I completely lost. But yeah, so I like broke four rods, lost some AirPods.
And this isn't a matter of like 10 seconds. Cody just like jamming out. He's got his music in, fishing, and goes to like take a dump, and then all of a sudden it all breaks loose. Horse flies biting him all over the place, breaks all of his rods. It's
like, even like the worst part about it was like, you know, like I thought I was like being nice that day. Like there was another angler in the area. There was just one fish. And I was like, Jay, just you can take him, dude. Like, go catch him. I'll go fish this way. And like 15 minutes later,
karma did not return.
it did not work out.
That's pretty serious. And that wasn't even, I was expecting a story that involved another angler, but I guess that was all Cody.
Yeah, that was all me.
I almost got a wrecking Cody. He's probably same boat I'm in. Probably doesn't have one. I mean, I'm pretty laid back out there. And the way I look at it, like fishing tournaments is one thing, like I want to be competitive, but it's just not something I ever want to risk, like getting stressed out or like, you know, losing my reputation just for who I am and how I treat people on the water. There's been so many times where I can tell people are a little bit tense, and I'd rather just let that person have the entire area and I'll go do something else. I get pretty laid back about it out there.
Definitely, the more kayak tournaments, like particularly I've done, you get a little more like calm. I know, like the first, like I'd fished out of a, you know, just done boat tournament since I was 8, 9 years old, and those first couple of years, like I feel like I got in more fights like on the water the first 2 years than I have like the last 5 years, and that's probably just due to me, like more than anything. I don't know. Seems like kayakers are a little nicer, and you know, better about you kind of fishing near him, I guess.
Yeah.
I did get blocked by Jacob Wheeler for friction that I didn't have with him, but Russ did, just for making a comment on his YouTube video about it.
Dang.
That's kind of a cool story. He unblocked me though recently. So
yeah, okay.
We're good now.
That's serious.
Yeah. It wasn't a polite comment. I just said, Russ is a really nice guy. Like whoever did this video didn't know what they were talking about, kind of thing, you know?
Gotcha. Kayak fishing, we end up fishing closer to each other just because we don't have the ability to, oh, somebody's in my area, let me just, you know, drive 7 miles across the lake to the other one. We can take out and use a different ramp, but yeah, for the most part, if you end up fishing around people, it's more understood, I guess, that you're just going to be in close quarters at times. And yeah, I've had 99% good experiences. I just talk to people, do my best to say, hey, you know, what's going on? What are we doing? You cool with me fishing around here? And everybody's pretty cool. So differences between fishing from a bass boat and fishing from a kayak. You know, I had always kayak fished. I've probably kayak fished more. Actually, I definitely have kayak fished more than I've fished out of a bass boat. And I've fished out of a bass boat a lot. I've just spent a lot of time on the water. But something that really stuck out to me, it was this year I was talking with another angler. His name is Michael Murrah. I don't know if y'all remember him. He did really well this year. I think only fished maybe 2 or 3 events. But I think he was in the top 3 at Toledo Bend for the Hobie Series. Or I say this year, last season. But he said, and he said it a lot more eloquently than this, but it was something along the lines of just kayak fishing being a very intimate experience. And it really stuck with me. And like, obviously it's, you know, it's pretty straightforward. Like obviously you're there with the fish, very close proximity, but it is really different. And I don't know, you know, everything is really up close and personal. And like how I was saying, the fish aren't afraid of the kayak. You experience a little there are things that you experience from the kayak that you wouldn't from a boat, just because fish are kind of more comfortable around you. But I don't know, y'all have anything to add with that as far as just the intimacy of kayak fishing?
I mean, it's definitely pretty amazing when you can tell. It's pretty easy to tell when you get into an area where a boat hadn't pushed back into in the last couple of weeks. And you just go throw, like a little buzzbait or a whopper plopper or whatever it may be, and, catch a bunch of fish when you'd been out on the main lake catching nothing all day. That's probably the best example I would feel like I kind of have from it.
And for my experience fishing out of a boat, I mean, I fished the opens 2 years ago, but as a co-angler, so I've never actually fished a bass tournament out of a boat, ever. So I can't really speak on that. I can speak from my experience from the back of the boat and just kind of what that was like. And yeah, there are some striking differences for sure. And to what Cody said, just, getting the intimacy is, I think that's why I really, really love kayak fishing. Haven't made the jump over to the boat side or done more with that, because I really just truly love fishing out of a kayak. I really do. So.
Like, if you really look at it just from a tournament standpoint, I feel like it's quite a bit different than just someone fun fishing in a bass boat versus someone fun fishing in a kayak.
Mm-hmm.
More times than not, like, you can go win a boat tournament with a couple of rods on the deck, one or two rods. Not that you can't win a kayak tournament doing that a lot of times, but you do have to have a few more things going normally.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a completely different approach. It's cool that we can fish on the same bodies of water and you don't have to be able to drive all over the lake to catch the same fish. Because again, since I mostly fished from a bass boat, when I wanted to kayak fish, I wanted to go to some off the map lake, which I still do. And that's still a great thing to do. I'm not knocking that, but just something to be said about staying in an area and being stealthy because you're in the kayak. It's impressive what you can actually catch on places that maybe see a lot of pressure from boats. It was really hard for me to, I had to experience it firsthand by fishing a bunch of kayak tournaments on big lakes to really understand it, but it's neat. It's really neat. So if you guys had to pick competitively, I guess, well, so I'm trying to talk about tough tournaments, like when the fishing is tough versus a tournament when the fishing is good. I don't enjoy tough tournaments. I'm good at them. And I'll set myself apart better when the fishing is tough, but it's way more stressful to me. So I would say I prefer good fishing for a tournament, but I want to hear what you guys think about this. Cause kayak tournaments, same as bass tournaments. Sometimes they're biting and it's great and you can catch them. And then sometimes you're really struggling to put together five, and five can be awesome.
I think more times than not, I feel like those tougher tournaments, you're better, more consistent, definitely stronger minded anglers kind of tend to come out. And when the fishing's good and everyone's catching them, I don't know. I feel like it's more of like someone could just kind of get lucky and drop in on the right ramp at the right day. I don't know. Some of those tougher tournaments, yeah, it feels like you can really put the work in and it kind of know you're a pretty good leg ahead before it actually starts. So I would say I prefer those.
I absolutely do too. Cause like Cody said, I feel like when the bite's just on, it seems like everybody's catching them and you don't get that really good separation. And talent and ability don't really come into play as much. It's just sometimes luck. You don't have to make the right cast. You don't have to be in the right area. You don't have to figure out the pattern, throughout the day. You just can go and go fishing, which is awesome. But for the tournaments, I love that for like when I'm fun fishing. Yeah, I love when you can just smash them. But in a tournament, I always prefer having a tougher tournament where a lot of things come into play. And if you're not making the right cast or you're not, constantly just evaluating things, you're not catching them. I definitely like those.
Yeah. Okay. So this is another thing that's kind of relating to that. I think this is a Mark Zona quote. I'm not positive, but somebody from Bassmaster at some point, I believe it was a commentator, but it was the phrase specialists win tournaments. And specialists meaning if there's a guy who is really good at punching, And like, he's going to seek that out no matter what fisheries he's at. If it's an option for him, he's going to try to find that. And if that's happening and that guy's there, good chance he's going to be able to, you know, set himself apart from the rest. But in kayak fishing, we can't move around as much. So what do you guys think about that statement and how it applies to kayak fishing? Do we have to be more generalists, or is there still room to be a specialist?
No, specialist still absolutely works. Cause I mean, 100%. the one thing you're doing like correctly before you've even started is you've put yourself in the water that you feel comfortable with. You know, whether it be Tommy Biffle up a river flipping, or, you know, George Cochran or something way up a river flipping. It's kind of the same premise really, you know?
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, just like Hartwell, knowing like, you know, that the main lake in that kind of area would not cater to what I like to do. So I always look, any lake I go to, I always look for water that I know that I can, that'll suit my strengths. And I think a lot of good anglers will do that. They'll go into a body of water and they'll look for water that, that whether it be the right color or you know, the right structure, vegetation, what have you, that they can go and apply what they know and what they're really competent in. And that's when you're going to see that really shine, I think.
Yeah, I think the year the Spro Bronze Eye Frog came out, I think like anybody in the world would have thought you could have caught a frog on any lake that, you know, the Elite Series went to that year, like just because of Dean Rojas. I think he had like 8 top 10s or something that year. It's pretty incredible on a bunch of lakes you shouldn't have been doing that on, really.
G was telling me that when they had, you know, Texas pulled those huge numbers, and like when you won Angler of the Year and those big Texas clubs, it like really meant something. And he said this was years ago when Greg Blanchard lived in Texas, and G and Greg would go like back to back on AOI like every year. And G said that one year he had him like all the way to the end, and Greg ended up winning barely. And he said every single tournament that he fished in Texas in that series, like 7 or 8 tournaments, all he did was flip. That was it. Every single, which Texas, I mean, you can, but that's, he literally had that one. He had 2 flipping rods and fished every single tournament flipping.
Yeah. Were you going to say something? Go ahead. I've definitely seen it play out in this last season. You certainly have more people that are kind of, like, I don't know, you'll see somebody have a really good tournament and maybe you hear that they, you know, he caught him doing this because that's what he does. And then they'll kind of fall off for a couple tournaments. You're like, oh, that guy got lucky. But then it's like you go to another tournament where his thing's happening and bam, like he did it again. And I feel like that's, you know, a similar parallel to what you see in the bass boat world, you know, whether it's Elite Series, Opens, what have you. So I'm kind of dwindling down on my topics. I kind of have some, well, I threw some in here at the end that are kind of fun. They're just really polarizing bass fishing topics that aren't anything super meaningful, but I want to get your guys' thoughts on this, and anybody in the comments, if you want to chime in on this. Braid on buzzbaits. How do we feel?
Absolutely.
Is there any other way?
Okay. So I fish mine on fluorocarbon. I hope somebody else is watching.
I knew you were different, Nolan.
Yeah, no, I don't like it. I feel like it tears a hole in their mouth, and I feel like I lose fish because of it.
Well, I throw a buzzbait on a. A lot of people throw it like on a. What I don't know what Cody throws it on, but I throw it like on a moderate fast, like a little softer rod.
Yeah, a lot of times. A 6'10" 4 rod.
Okay, so I mean, yeah. So I feel like that kind of helps a little bit.
I feel like I can skip it a lot better with braid than I can over fluorocarbon.
Yeah, 100%.
But I don't know. Probably depends on the buzzbait.
Yeah, we got mixed things going on in the comments. But we do at least have some fluorocarbon users. I have a couple supporters. I don't know. I think a lot of it comes down to whatever you're used to and what you're confident with. How, like, I think the biggest example would be how Kevin Van Dam uses really big, heavy treble hooks on a lot of his stuff and uses heavier rods. And it's just because that's the way he fishes. He sets the hook harder and plays the fish differently than somebody else would using the same treble hook lures. And I think a lot of the stuff that we argue about is kind of the same thing. It's like, if you're used to it and you know how you have to set the hook and play that fish with that equipment, you know how it works, and it might not work for the next guy, but it's fun to argue about stuff like that. So something I feel like we see more of now, it's taking time because braid hasn't been around for that long relative to how long bass fishing has been around. How much do you guys use braids of leaders on bait casters? Now, I'm not just talking about topwaters, but there's, you know, sometimes stuff for moving baits, for flipping. You kind of see that more now, whereas, I don't know, I remember when I was growing up, first getting into bass fishing, you pretty much only saw straight braid for frogs and punching. You know, generally, I'd say just those two.
Say that last part again.
Oh, yeah. So do you guys use, like, do you guys ever use braid to leader on your bait casters? Are there certain applications that you really like it for? And topwater doesn't count because that's kind of what everybody does for topwater.
Other than like a jerk bait, which is pretty specific to having a current or grass. Sometimes with a chatterbait, that'd be the only two, jerkbait and a chatterbait.
Yeah, I don't. And I wish that it's something that I wish I could get a little bit more comfortable with, because I know that there's definitely a science to it, but I just can't get over the, I don't like having a leader. Sometimes if I'm doing some light flipping and like ultra clear conditions, I will put a leader on a flipping rod, and that's about it. And it's a super short leader of that. I don't like the knot going through the guides. I just don't. And I know I need to just get better with it, because there's a lot of situations where it makes a lot of sense. But either I'm straight braid or straight fluoro. Like, yeah. 99% of the time.
Mm-hmm. That's another thing about kayak fishing, is we don't have the room to take a zillion rods. So I feel like for me, there's maybe, I may be able to get away with doing more with one setup if I learn how to use braid with leaders on it. Just eliminates some stretch and allows for, you know, a little more forgiving hook set situation. Mm-hmm. What is it? I think Pat says, or whoever's on the Straightcast Facebook, it's probably Pat, says Fritz. So David Fritz throws crankbaits on braid. There's people that do that. That freaks me out. I can't do that, but there's people that use soft rod.
I religiously do it in current. If I'm in current, I will always throw a crankbait on straight braid.
Okay.
But it doesn't matter. Like, even at the Susquehanna, doesn't matter how clear it is. There's something about keeping contact when you've got that much sway in a crankbait with treble hooks, I feel like.
Christine?
I want no business with that. No, I don't. I don't like to throw crankbaits, period. I do sometimes. I don't want it, and I definitely don't want it on braid. But what Cody says makes sense, and I'm going to let Cody keep doing that.
I will.
I know you will. I know.
Christine, that you've thrown a wake bait more than once at the Susquehanna. I've seen it in your videos. That was mono you threw on that one?
No, I actually was throwing... Okay. So I had two sizes of the wake bait. On the smaller one, I was throwing mono on that. I was actually throwing it on straight braid, on one of my rods, one of my soft reactions rod. I had the larger one on braid, and I threw that one around. If you notice in my video, I was throwing that one around a lot of the wood. And that other one, I was in the shade. I don't think it made that big of a difference throwing that wake bait in the shade pockets around wood, but that smaller one I was throwing on mono. Out kind of in the main body of the river.
Jake wants to know what wake bait it was. I would say if it's,
shut up, Jake.
if it's not a sponsor bait, it's just a wake bait. Jackhammers and kayak fishing. Is that just like, that's just a thing? I don't know. There's just, everybody uses it, and like somehow just, there's just like, if you've never fished a kayak tournament before and you want to get into it, if you enter like three and that's the only bait you take with you, there's people that's just, I don't know. That's just what happens. What are y'all's thoughts on that? I don't know if it's a combination between, or it's just the bait's that good.
It blows my mind. And I always kind of joke with the guys, like I hate when they're eating a chatterbait really good. Mm-hmm. I hate it. It's like, I hate those tournaments when you're going out there and you're just like, they are smashing a chatterbait, because this means that 75% of the kayak anglers out there are going to catch them. I don't throw it very much, surprisingly. I really don't. It's usually not something I have tied on, except if I'm fishing current, I'll have it. That's really about it. But it just blows my mind that time after time that they keep catching fish that good when these fish have had to just seen it so many times. It seems like all of the kayak anglers throw it. I know Jody's won more money on a jackhammer than dang near anybody I know.
Cody?
I think the last keeper I caught on one was like 2018 or maybe seven. Yeah. It's been a long time. So it's, I don't know if you like, if you really like get into like, you know, the frequencies it's making underwater, like it is significantly different. And like, if you've thrown it on, if you've used it with live scope, like there's been times I haven't seen anything on live scope and you'll throw a jackhammer out and a fish will like come up and appear, you know, it's like, so there's the drawing power from a chatterbait is like unlike anything else. And even though I don't really throw it much, I still do think there's like a 40 minute to a 1 hour window every day where it might be the best lure you could probably throw.
Yeah. And bowling I said jackhammer. That's just because that's what I'm used to all the kayak people saying in my ear. You just like, I don't know, you're just walking around at the meeting and you just hear people talking. But yeah, we've got several different ones. Thunder Cricket, Berger's Rubber Knocker. I need to play with that one some. I have not played with it nearly enough. And probably something a little different would probably do me some good. These fish are probably getting used to hearing that dang thing. They just keep eating them. I don't know why they keep. It's kind of amazing. I can remember when bladed jigs first were a thing, because I feel like during my fishing lifetime, I feel like I can remember watching the Elite Series when bladed jigs didn't exist, and then it was like. The very first one was that Z-Man original, and that's the only thing that was out. So that's what everybody was using. But I remember thinking, like, it's, you know, like, it's kind of a weird bait. Like, it's not going to be. And now a bladed jig is, I mean, I don't know. It's probably the most dominating single lure that exists right now. And it's incredible that fish just keep on biting it. Like, it's one thing if they bite a stick bait, right? Because they can't, it's not loud. They don't. But a bladed jig, like it makes a lot of noise and thumps a lot, and they just keep eating it. I don't know. Pretty incredible how that's still taking place with as much fishing pressure there is these days. I don't know. It blows me away every time.
I think that mini max will really, really start to shine. I just got a feeling about that next couple years.
I thought they might bite that at the Susquehanna. And when we got there and they weren't really touching any bladed jigs. Now I know some people, again, somehow people caught them. Like I think people in the top 10 caught them on that. I threw a dang bladed jig so much in that tournament in practice and they would not touch it. And I was like, I'm like you, Christine. I was like, yes, they're not eating it. Cause that's the last thing I wanted to do was show up there and everybody could just throw a bladed jig and go anywhere.
It doesn't take a whole lot of skill. It's like a chopo or a plopper. It takes a little skill, but it just, you know what I mean? It's just one of those things where
It seems like now, it seems like anytime somebody does good on now, it's like a little creative, like either some crazy trailer or no skirt or something a little unique.
That no skirt thing's pretty cool. I messed around with that a little bit. And that bait does kind of hunt a little better without that. It's kind of neat. Sometimes it plays.
So Pat told me I needed to finish strong and here we go. Here's how we're going to, I feel like first of all, if you guys want to add anything, if you got anything that's, you know, you maybe wanted to say and haven't gotten a chance to, let me know. Cause I'm probably gonna try to wrap this thing up. Nothing.
Sorry. I'm good.
That just means I've been a great host. So, fisheries with no boat ramp. That to me is maybe the coolest thing as far as the fun fishing side of kayak fishing. We can go places that a bass boat or any boat, unless somebody, you know, bass boat probably can't launch it most of the time. Maybe somebody has drug a John boat down into some place, but it's very easy to go and fish places that do not have boat ramps. And you can experience some really cool, it's kind of like the last frontier, the final frontier of bass fishing, in my opinion, is places that don't have boat ramps. And that's one of my favorite things about kayak fishing. I don't know. What do y'all think about that?
I don't know. Like, I would say, like, you're asking like what my favorite part of kayak fishing
is. Yeah, or just, I mean, I don't know, like, do you fish many places that don't have boat ramps? Or because that to me is just really cool. And again, this is not competitive, the fun fishing thing, just the fact that we can access stuff like that. And
so even, I don't know, before like tournament fishing, we used them for like floating the White River, like we'd use them for fly fishing when they hadn't generated in 2 or 3 weeks. Like there's a lot of stretches on the lower sections of the White and Little Red that like you can hammer, you know, fish on a fly in like July and August and stuff. That was probably the first, you know, I don't know. That's probably like the biggest benefit I had of it, I guess, beforehand.
Yeah, big fan of the no boat ramp thing. Like one of my absolute favorite things to do is scour Google Earth and look at some of the rivers in Tennessee and Virginia and find these little holes that I can drop a kayak into to catch muskie, where it's like off of ravines and stuff to these like deep pools and these rivers and the gorges. And what I know those muskies probably hadn't seen hardly any boats, because unless you're whitewatering down there, you're not getting anywhere near them. So yeah, it's one of my favorite things to do, and you can only do it with a kayak.
Yeah. I think there's people that have probably only spent time in a bass boat and don't want to jump in a kayak just because, you know, it's a lot different. There's no, you can't go 70 miles an hour. It's not, usually they're not sparkly, but there are definitely some benefits, and I hope some people further into the future will kind of, you know, maybe eat their words and just try it. Cause I think there'd be a lot of people that would be surprised, that it'd be more fun, more enjoyable than they would expect if they haven't done it before. So I need to thank, some people who support this, show. I guess first of all, I'll see y'all out. I don't really know how these work. This is my first time being a host, but thank you guys so much for being on. Everybody watching, we're going to see plenty from these two this season. We will all be giving each other a hard time out there this year, but it will all be in good fun. And yeah, I'm sure that these two are going to crush them at plenty of tournaments, and we'll see plenty from them. We will hopefully have them back on this show again, because this is going to be a recurring show. I don't know when the next one's going to be or how often it's going to happen, but we're going to try to do more of these pedal pirates. So yeah, thank you guys so much. If there's anything you want to add, go ahead. But if not, been a pleasure having you on. And then I'm going to get into thanking to some people that support this show.
Thanks for having us, Nolan.
Yeah. Thanks for having us. I enjoyed it.
Cool. Hopefully I did okay for being my first time as a host.
Stay for it.
Thank you. Power pole. And so power pole has a kayak, power pole, a mini power pole that a lot of people use. Seems to be really cool. I don't have one, but definitely would be worth checking out for people that haven't checked that out. The Berkeley giveaway, I do need to announce that guy. Pat sent it to me. Mike Camp. Mike Camp is our Berkeley prize pack winner. I don't know what he won, but it's from Berkeley. And I think it was like $50 worth of stuff. So probably a pretty cool prize pack going to Mike Camp. And I guess you probably get in touch with Pat about that, or Pat will get in touch with you, Mr. Mike. But congratulations on winning the Berkeley giveaway for the Like and Share. Half a Spot Official. It's a tournament app. They support the show. And, you know, it's a good way to make some extra bucks on the side, whether you are fishing from a kayak, a boat, or from the bank. Check out the Half a Spot Official app. Download that. Sims Fishing. Obviously some of the best clothing out there in the fishing world. You see it everywhere. A lot of good people using that stuff. Omnia Fishing Shop. I get a lot of stuff from Omnia, even though I don't get any discounts or anything from there. It's a good place to get stuff from good people there. They write you little notes in your little box. You get a note usually, when you order some stuff from them. The OG Line and Lure Conditioner, KVD Line and Lure Conditioner. Let's see here. Pat tells me thank guests again. I thanked him. I think I did my spot with that. Andy, the Ginger Ninja is what Pat calls him. But Andy, thank you so much for helping me out with this, helping me navigate this new ordeal, being a host of a show, of a podcast. I've had fun, and Andy is the man for working and making sure all this stuff works well. And yeah, that's all we got. Stay looking for the next episode. Like I said, I don't know when we're going to have it, or, you know, how far into the future that will be, or the frequency we're going to have these shows, but we're going to try to keep having Pedal Pirates shows. Should be good. There's a lot more cool stuff to delve into with kayak fishing. We kind of stayed pretty general in this episode, but yeah, yeah, there's a lot of good beats to look into. But yeah, had fun. I'm Nolan Miner. This is Pedal Pirates. Hope you guys enjoyed. And I'm going to head out. Y'all have a good one.